Well, we used to take a lot of road trips years ago when Ethan was little and before Johanna had joined us. And when he was small, we, of course, had to strap him into a car seat for these long rides. It wasn't like when I was a kid back in the day. You could play all in the back seat, move all around. But now, today, man, you got to strap him in and kids can move like this. And that's about it. So these long rides would wear on our little boy. And so after a while, we eventually got him one of those portable DVD players so that he could watch that as we were heading down the road. And because napping was never high on his list, we had to try to keep him somewhat entertained on those miles. But the first show, the first movie that he got into and just loved was the movie Cars. Do you remember that movie that came out a few years back? He loved Lightning McQueen and Mater. And so seemingly every time we were on a car trip and we said, "Well, buddy, what do you want to watch today?" He'd say, "Cars!" "Really? Again?" "Yes, Cars! I want to watch Cars!" Folks, I just about had the dialogue to that movie memorized after a while. We wore out the DVD. It doesn't even play anymore correctly because we watched it so much. But as a result of all the times that he watched that movie, would it be kind of weird for me to sit Ethan down later today and say, "Ethan, I'm going to tell you the story of the movie of Cars"? Would he look at me and say, "Dad, what are you talking about? I already know that story. I don't need to hear that. You don't need to tell me that story"? Well, that's how I always felt about one particular story in the Bible. And so up until today, in my years of ministry, I have never, ever preached a sermon on the story of David and Goliath. Out of all these sermons, I've always left this one aside. I mean, everybody knows it. Where's the suspense? Where's the hook in the story? But then here recently, God led me to do this series on David that we started last week. And if you missed last week's sermon, you can go online or YouTube and you can check it out. But I knew if I'm going to preach on David, I can't skip this story. But I tell you what, God is so good, amen? And sometimes we need to see an old story in a new way. So let's go back today and let's watch that same movie yet again. Let's read that same story again. But this time, let's see if we can look at it through a different angle. Let's see this familiar story through the lens or new glasses of honor and shame. And maybe you've never seen the story through these glasses before, so let's give it a try. If you've got your Bibles with you, I'd invite you to open them up to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Or if your Bible doesn't open up, it turns on, go ahead and do that as well. Or if you don't have a Bible with you, scoot next to someone and make a friend who's got a Bible and follow along with me. Now here in 1 Samuel chapter 17, what a scene we find. Right off the bat, we find two armies gathered for battle. A time of sword and spear, shield and arrow. Follow me in verse 3. "The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, with a valley in between." Each army has got the higher ground on their mountain, hoping the other army will advance, and then they can use gravity to fire at them and kind of have them enter the killing zone right there. David's older brothers have joined Saul's army to fight against the enemies of the land, the Philistines. And for 40 days, these armies have stood on their mountains shouting at each other for 40 days. No arrow has flied. They're just yelling taunts at each other, trying to unnerve the other army. But every day, near the end of the day, the Philistine champion would come forth, a giant named Goliath, and he would challenge any Israelite to come and fight him. And after the Israelites had spent all day screaming the war cry, they would then hear Goliath's challenge, and they would kind of shrink away back to their tents. And this happened day after day after day. So what's really happening here? For 40 days, Goliath is shaming the army of Israel. Listen to him in verse 8. 1 Samuel chapter 7, 17, verse 8. Then Goliath stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, "Why have you come to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to fight me." He says, "Come on, I'm just a Philistine. Come and fight me." But by shaming Israel, who was Goliath really shaming? He was really shaming their God. So to really understand this story, we need to look again through the lens of honor and shame. And we don't always see these things because we live in a more Midwest, we live in a Western mindset that doesn't see honor and shame like we would if we grew up in the Middle East. Well, the story continues, and Jesse, who we met last week, Jesse, whose three of his boys are there on the battlefield, he sends his youngest son to go and bring food to his older boys. Follow me down to verse 17 of chapter 17. Then Jesse said to his son David, "Take now for your brothers an ephah of this dried grain and 10 loaves, and run to your brothers at camp, and carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their thousand, and see how your brothers fare, and bring back news of them." Dad wants to know what's going on, so he tells David what to do. And David does what his dad says, right? Does exactly what he says, but David gets to the battlefield and his heart starts pumping. His adrenaline is just surging through his body, and so he can't help himself. He drops off the food and he runs up to the battle line. And at the battle line, he hears Goliath's challenge. And now, here's the question I have for all of you who probably know this story very well. When does David go to battle in this chapter? Do you know? Well, if you know the story well, we would many times think that he goes to battle, Pastor, of course, when he races off to face Goliath, right? That's when he goes to battle. And folks, if that's what we think, we would be wrong. Because the true battle for David happens before he ever runs off after the giant. The real battle begins in verse 26. In verse 26, after hearing this challenge, then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done to the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach, the shame from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy or shame the armies of the living God?" David gets there and he thinks, man, what gives? What is going on? Somebody needs to shut that big guy up. Why isn't somebody doing something? Watch what happens here, friends. David's passion is to honor God, and it causes him to speak out to the men around him against Goliath. But David's true battle was not against the giant. His true battle happened at the hands of a fellow Israelite. His true battle happened when someone who should have been on his side turns against him. Look at verse 28. Now Eliab, David's older brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David, and he said, "Why have you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride, the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle." Whoa. Eliab is angry. See, David arrived full of passion to honor God. But the real battle was to keep that passion for God against his brother Eliab. Because Eliab is ticked off at his baby brother, and he lashes out at him. If you look at that verse there, what does he do? He questions David's motives. He says, "I know your heart." Remember what we learned last week? Who knows the heart? Only God. But Eliab says, "I know your heart, David." Questions his motives. He demeans him, and he says he's irresponsible. Who's watching your few sheep out there? What's up with Eliab? Why is he so hot and bothered? Well, you ever watch Brothers before? This stuff happens, doesn't it? David's passion for God made Eliab feel small. Because Eliab knew. He'd been there for 39, 40 days hearing this. And he knew in his heart that he should have been willing to trust God and fight the giant. David had probably heard Eliab and his brothers talk about how brave they were going to be and how many Philistines they were going to kill. But now, nothing has happened day after day. So Eliab is really angry with himself and his lack of courage. But it's easier to take it out on his baby brother. Do we do that to each other sometimes? We resent someone else's passion for God, which leads to that critical spirit. So instead of asking God to increase our passion and to increase our commitment, it's human nature to tear the other person down. So now, what would David do? Here's the real battle. See, David could have thought, man, I'm right. I'm just doing what Dad told me to do. Remember, he's the baby brother, the youngest of all the brothers. He probably thought, I have had it with Eliab. I'm going to punch that guy in the mouth. He could have thought that. I mean, that's how brothers settle disputes, isn't it? And they could have started fighting right there. And the real enemy would have gone unfought. And isn't that how the devil does his best work? Get us to fight each other. Amen. I got one amen. So, friends, how does David respond? How does he win this true battle? Look at verse 29 in your Bibles. And 29 is an interesting verse because it's translated in a variety of ways. It's translated in some Bibles where David says it was only a question. Other Bibles will translate it and say, can't I even speak? But I really like how the New King James Version translates it because David says, is there not a cause? Which sounds kind of like a strange response. But I like that. Larry Lichtenwalter writes that David is compelled to speak because of the cause. What cause is there that makes David willing to stand up to a giant? Well, the first thing, friends, is this giant has been shaming Israel and therefore shaming God. The second reason is David's connection with God makes bringing honor to the Lord his first number one goal in life. Amen. And so he can't help but speak. When I read this story of David, I ask myself, is my number one goal in life to bring honor to God? Now, there's one more reason why David felt compelled to stand up for God. And we're going to get to that final reason for David willing to fight in a little bit. But first, friends, David's passion and his goal to honor God made it so he barely notices the physicality of Goliath. But I want to help each of us understand exactly what David chose not to see that day. So here we go. How tall was Goliath? Do you know?
9.5 feet.
Yeah, most Bibles say like in cubits, but when you translate it out, some will say only 6 feet, but most Bibles will say 9.5 feet. 9 feet, 6 inches tall. I'm going to try to help you to picture just how tall Goliath was. Some of you who follow football might have seen this guy, NFL football player. His name is J.J. Watt. He is 6'5" tall. This guy is a mountain of a man. Can you see him there? He's hard to miss, isn't he? 6'5" tall. Let's look at J.J. Watt compared to basketball player, former NBA basketball player, Yao Ming. And let's see what J.J. Watt looks like there. Yao Ming standing there is 7'6" tall. You can start to get a feel for the size of what's going on here. Now, 7'6", Goliath would look down at Yao, standing 9'6". Now, folks, I really wish I had Yao Ming and J.J. Watt here today to help you see this, but they were busy. They couldn't make it. But never fear, because now it's time for everyone's favorite part of a Pastor Michael sermon. That's right. It's time for another episode of, say it with me, Congregation Participation. All right, we're going to have some fun here today to help you guys realize exactly what David was facing and what he was up against. So to make this Bible real for us today, I'm going to need a little bit of help. And so I'm going to ask Dustin, would you come and join me up here? And so everyone can see, let's set those up here, shall we? Dustin, would you come and join me up here? I know I might be typecasting a bit. Here, let's kind of set them right like here, kind of turn them like that. There we go. Dustin, how tall are you, sir?
6'4".
6'4". Whoo. You are too short for this. Have you ever been told that you were too short for a job? Doesn't happen much for you, no. But are you willing to help me today?
Sure.
Okay, we got to help these people realize how big Goliath was. Now, 6'4", we're going to add a few inches to you, okay?
Okay.
Are you willing? I'm going to see if I can put you up here on these. Yeah, if you can stand up there. Now, make sure you get steady. It's not time for you to come tumbling down yet. You good?
We got it.
Okay, stay right there. Now, so Dustin is going to illustrate for us Goliath. Now, this was 6'4", probably added a couple more inches. I didn't want to get too dangerous, but imagine, maybe another foot on top of this. Can you see this? I'm 5'9". Most Israelites at that time were about 5'6". Can you see what they were facing? So this is Goliath, folks, all right? Now, come on, it's congregation participation. This is Goliath. Boo. Okay, very good, very good. Now, we need a hero. We need a hero in the story, so we've got to have David. Colton, are you out there? Would you help me a little bit? Colton, I need you to come up here. We've got Colton Snyder, and he's going to be David for us. So I want you to just kind of stand right here first off, and let's see if we can get this pictured here. Now, Colton, how tall are you? He's about 5'3 or so. That probably would have been about David's size. So, but we couldn't be that close to the Goliath. So I'm going to have you come over here, Colton. Now, David comes to the battle, and David is, he's young, he's small, but he's, Colton, he's good looking. He is good looking. The Bible tells us that. And what are you blushing for now? The Bible doesn't say anything about David turning red, but that's all right. Okay. He was athletic, he's good looking, and he's willing. He's willing to get to the battle. So can you see the perspective here? Do you see what David was choosing not to see? Now, folks, we have Goliath here. Okay. And we have David here. Okay, good. See, they're playing along too. That's good. Now we're going to act out this historic conflict. But something that you need to know, something that you folks might not know about our Goliath here. Take a breath and hold on to your seats. I don't want anybody to fall out of their seats. Our Goliath here, Dustin, is also a Red Sox fan. I know. So we're going to see if we can get two birds with one stone here today, Colton. So now the battle comes, and what does David do? What does he get for his weapons? He gathers up some rocks. How many rocks does he get? Five rocks. Well, I don't have rocks here today, but we got something that could work. That's something that could work. I got a baseball here today. I got a baseball. I think this will work just fine. And it's got a New York Yankee symbol on it. Even better. Even better. So, now, Colton, how's your arm today? You feeling strong? What? No, Dustin. Now, hold on a second. Stay up there. This is perfectly safe for me. But Dustin, Goliath didn't leave the battlefield. Now we have to stay true to the story. This is for the gospel. Sacrifices must be made. So, now, Colton, feeling good here? Now, see, what in the story, when David lets fly with that rock, the rock flies so hard, and remember where it hits Goliath? It gets him right in the forehead, and it gets him so hard that it actually leaves an impression in the forehead. So I'm hoping that today, with this Yankee symbol that we have here, maybe we can leave an impression on Dustin. So do you feeling pretty good about this?
What's so bad about the Red Sox anyways?
Wait a second. Not everybody heard that. Can you say that again?
What's so bad about the Red Sox?
Let's get this one on here. Got this one? Okay, hold on. What?
What's so bad about the Red Sox anyways?
Oh, man. Colton. Folks, it doesn't happen often, but every now and then Pastor Michael is wrong. And this morning, we have discovered a Philistine spy among us. This is not David. No, this, you get over here with your champion, for crying out loud. Folks, we have got to work harder. We have to find someone pure of heart that could maybe help with us. I think I found one that could maybe help here today. We really got to find David here. All right. Whew, had to find someone not a Red Sox fan to help with this. Okay, here we go. How are you feeling?
Doing good.
Doing good? All right. Good, good. Now, so come on up here. And so we've got, so everybody remembers who we've got here. We've got Goliath. Boo. We've got his armor bearer, I guess. I don't know. And then we've got David. Okay, now do you remember the song? Do you remember the song? Can someone help me sing the song? Does somebody know the song, Only a Boy Named David? Okay, they're ready. All right, they're ready. So let's sing it. Let's sing it. But I need someone to lead, because otherwise it won't be on the sound. Angela, do you know that song? Come up here, Angela. We're going to sing. We're going to act it out. Now remember, in this historic conflict, so we're going to sing, we've got the evil Goliath here, and we've got David. So now you're going to participate. Angela, you're going to help sing. Mm-hmm. Let's go. You ready?
Only a boy named David, only a little sling. Only a boy named David, but he could pray and sing. Only a boy named David, only a little brook. Only a boy named David, and five little stones he took. And when a stone went into the sling, and the sling went round and round. And one little stone went into the sling, and the sling went round and round. And round and round and round and round and round and round and round. And one little stone went up in the air, and the giant came tumbling down.
All right. Amen, amen. Thank you to Goliath. Thank you, Colton. Thank you, David. Thank you, thank you. Ah, it's fun to have a little fun at church, is it not? But did you see the size difference there? Can you picture that in your mind, what it was like when David said, I got no problem. I got no problem bringing this guy down. Put yourself into the story. And remember the size of things. Goliath had been taunting the servants of Israel, breaking their spirits for days. And then he tries to taunt David. And I want you to hear David's response here in 1 Samuel 17, verse 45. It says, then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of the hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied, whom you've shamed. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. You see, David is fighting not just to bring the giant down. David is fighting. He runs into the battle to bring honor to God. And so sling whipping over his head, David lets fly. And the rock hits Goliath true. And the Philistines, who've been cheering as they saw David, this little David walk out, they're probably cheering, laughing, slapping each other. And then they see them meet in battle. The rock flies and it hits. And the unthinkable. They watch Goliath stop, crumble to his knees, and fall on the ground. And their cheers silence. But I'm sure they thought, it's Goliath. No one can beat him. He's just stunned. It was a lucky shot. He's going to get up. He'll get up. He's got to get up. And then David grabs a sword and finishes the battle. Dustin, it's a good thing you left when you did. not a pleasant end for that giant. And David cuts off his head. The armies of Israel see what happened, and these guys who've been quivering in their armor for 40 days arise up, and they shout, and they rush and join the battle, and they rout the Philistines. Friends, for thousands of years, we remember this epic battle, and we tell it over and over again. It's become part of our language now. When you've got an underdog sports team that comes up against just a juggernaut of a team, what do we call that? Call it a David and Goliath match. David has been remembered. But we need to remember that David's focus was never about bringing glory to himself. What drives this young man is his passion for God, and he asked the question, is there a cause? Is there a cause in our lives today? Are we passionate about God and his truth today? Because, my friends, God is still looking for Davids who are willing to stand up for him. And the final reason that David was willing to fight Goliath that day, you may say, how did this little boy, how did he not quiver when he saw that giant? Final reason why? It's because of trust. David saw how God had worked in the past when he fought a bear and a lion. The final reason why David is willing to enter this battle is because he trusted how God helped him in the past. Look at what he says in verse 34 when David's trying to talk Saul into letting him fight. He says, your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when the lion or the bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it rose against me, I caught it by the beard, struck it, and killed it. David had learned to trust God in the past. And I wonder if he thought at the time, David would have been like me, when that bear came and grabbed the lamb, or when the lion came and grabbed one, if he'd thought, man, Lord, why have you allowed this to happen to me? I mean, here I am, I'm out here every day, and I'm singing songs to you, and you couldn't even protect the sheep for me? Lord, what's going on? But David, because of that experience with the bear, because of that fight with the lion, this moment in time, he knows, me and God, we can take down a giant. Amen. So maybe you're facing a lion in your life today. Maybe a bear has come along and messed things up for you. Will you let that rob you of your trust of God? Or will you learn to trust all the more, like David? Or maybe in your life, maybe in our lives, we've been suffering some friendly fire from an Eliab in your life. Will you allow that to destroy your passion to serve God? Or will we choose to be like David and run out and face the giant? Trusting God with the outcome, and willing to give our all to honor God. Friends, this morning in your life and in this world, is there a cause? Is there something in this life worth being passionate about? Is God and his truth worth having passion for? Scripture reports that God calls David a man after God's own heart. I want that kind of heart. Amen? Amen. So maybe today, folks, you've seen this old, old story. And you've seen it again, maybe for the first time. But I want you to know this wasn't just a battle against a giant. David was a warrior with passion, a warrior who was willing to stand up to honor God, a warrior who would not stand for someone else shaming God, and a warrior who would not let another snuff out his passion for serving God. But what about us? Are there any warriors among us today? Any willing to stand up for God against the giants of this life? Are we able to stay focused on God's honor when those around us aren't supportive? My friends, when the lions and the bear come, will we still trust that God is at work even when we can't see it? My friends, God is still looking for hearts like David who will honor him first and foremost. So I say, let's trust God and join the battle. Let's pray. Almighty Father in heaven, we are reminded, we are inspired again by you that you took a little boy with a heart bigger than a mountain who took down a mountain of a man and won the battle for you, Lord, and brought honor to your name. Lord, help us. Give us that courage to stand up to the bears, to the lions, to stand up and to stand fast, even to the Eliabs in life. And then when you call us, Lord, may we stand trusting in you, dear Jesus, to face the giant. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.